Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Geekverse Podcast. I am the Taylor Field, and today we are getting into the spoilers review of episode 8 of season 2 of Chucky. Oh my gosh, it's been a long trek and we're finally here. Before we get into that, though, a couple of plugs. You can find us with your internet connection in the search bar. Geekverse.ca is our home base. Geekverse Cast is our Twitter. Geekverse is our Facebook. Also, be sure to check us out on Patreon because you can get ad-free early episodes available there. There's definitely a whole plethora of upcoming content that you're going to want to tune into. When you support the show on Patreon, you're helping us grow with more content, and we can't thank you enough, especially these fine folks. Patreon producers, Aaron Braden, April of Darkness, Smalley Biggs, Joshua Wright, you are all legends. Thank you so much for all your continued support for the show. Additionally, if you check out Manscaped, you get free shipping at manscaped.com with the promo code GVPOD. You can also get 20% off your whole purchase. Again, that is 20% off with the code GVPOD and free shipping on top of that at manscaped.com. So definitely check them out. Their products are absolutely stellar. And I think that's pretty much it. We got what are the fine new details we got here? We got the Avatar retrospective that's gonna be coming out because Avatar 2 releases in a couple weeks now. Actually, yeah, mid December. So we got that you can look forward to. We have our Andor finale that just dropped. We're doing a Glass Onion Knives Out review this week. And what else is there? I think that's all I can remember at this present time. But I'm sure more will come to me as we cast. So let's get into our non-spoiler slots first before we break into the juicy stuff. This episode was very much anticipated, but I also feel not needed. And I say that because last week's episode was a great kind of cap off to everyone's story. And I feel like this one just kind of opened up a can of worms, and it was weird to have an open can of worms again for a finale when this one was just so, or last week's was just so, hey, great. It left it with mystery and intrigue, and it kind of just closed things off. And I feel like they wanted to capitalize on certain things, maybe even the time of year for this episode, which is totally fine, but I feel like it wasn't justified enough because when they opened this can of worms, I felt like, and we're just getting into a whole new season, but it felt rushed, which should never be the case for a finale. So it kind of was more of a negative stance I took for this, even though it was a very long episode, which is very nice. I'll save that for a spoiler talk, but yeah, it was unfortunate that certain things were rushed. And while they did dive into some more of the storylines that were left off in the previous episode, which is great, they didn't tie it up enough like that episode 7 did, where that could have been the season finale and I would have totally been okay with it, and I would have been back day one for season 3, which I don't even know if is confirmed yet, but with the ending that we got, I really hope there is another season. And if that doesn't happen, then hopefully a movie, because they've really invested themselves into the current narrative, and I imagine they want to keep pursuing it. But yeah, as far as it goes with characters, we got really good development. We got a lot of things left open-ended, but really good development as well. And there's a few things, though, that really caught me by surprise, because I was thinking, like, holy shit, okay, that was rushed, but then this happened, so then that has me questioning this, and a whole plethora of things. And so I do feel like a show should kind of, not to be Christmassy, but put a nice bow on things sometimes and kind of round it off, so you're not sitting there with this open-ended narrative and you can't really piece all these things together. So it can kind of get convoluted. And I'm not saying that was the whole episode. It certainly was a portion, and probably more like set to the back half. The first quarter and a half of this episode was great in terms of the narrative and the development and just our characters kind of coming together. So I'm very, very happy about that. But yeah, once we got to like the halfway mark, and then especially at the very end, it's like, okay, this is getting a little bit expedited. But that's pretty much it for my non-spoilers. So if you haven't seen the episode, go tune into it and then come on back and we can get into this together. So let's do it. 3, 2, 1, spoiler territory. Our episode begins with Charles Leary having his life flash before his eyes. It really hones in on Charles and his relationship with the therapist, Dr. Mixter. So at this point, we kind of backtrack in the previous episode a little bit, where you see Chucky just lying on the ground, the jaw shut off, and just kind of like light flashing through their eyes. We even get some backstory on how he wanted to get one of the kids to kill in order to create more Chuckies. So we kind of get into that sense, which is neat. We get several flashbacks of season one with Chucky pushing the crew, everyone over the edge and killing some of their parents. And we called it last week. Chucky Prime did a quick second transition and put his soul into the doctor while the team was held up in the church. And this, it totally makes sense. It's Chucky. You just can't take him out. He knows what's going to happen. So, yeah, he put his soul into her body, swapped her soul into the doll's body. She lost her jaw, so she couldn't talk, resulting in her, you know, unfortunate demise. But then the whole life flashing before the eyes thing, we realize in retrospect that, oh, it's not Chucky that's imagining this. It's the doctor imagining this, the whole, all the good times. Because you think, like, oh, Chucky really enjoyed all these good times with the doctor. And it's like, no, sure as shit. No, it's just the doctor who had this, like, fixation and maybe borderline love interest into him with this obsession because she's imagining that they're dancing and all that stuff. So it was interesting in retrospect how you can kind of piece two and two together like that. But anyways, so Chucky Prime took this quick second as they were running away, just decks the doctor. She's fucking down. Holy shit. And then he just does, Dembala, give me the power, I beg of you, right into her. And this is all while the team is still dealing with Sister Ruth in the church, so they can't get out there in time. When they do, yes, she's down. Down for the count. And, yeah, that was the shocking scene where Andy just shoots the jaw's doll off, unbeknownst that it's the doctor. And now we see here, continuing on, after, of course, she was, when I say, the doctor. Pardon me. Oh, my goodness. Dr. Mixter, the therapist of Charles E. Ray, who is now possessed by Chucky, she's driving away. And in last week's episode, closed out with the doctor laughing. And so this doctor now, she's driving away, and then we get to basically her I'll call it a facility, where she does her sessions. And so when Chucky is here, you know, okay, he's going for something. And of course, there's a hidden safe, and it's in behind this painting, and Chucky knows the code, opens it up, and boom, there is a mint condition good guy doll. And so forth rolls the Christmas tunes. And I have to say, as far as all the Chucky intro titles, the title cards are going, like, they're just fantastic. Each one has been so unique and special. And this one was very cool to see, Christmas themed Chucky. I really enjoyed it. But we're now back in Hackensack. School has been shut down because people got murdered out the wazoo there. So that's definitely not a thing anymore for the trio. So we're back in Hackensack, and a bit of time has passed because now we're a few days before Christmas. Lexi, she's in rehab and she's getting help for addiction issues, which is great. Lexi in her group shares how her monster in her life is really her mother. They were alluding to Chucky and definitely, yeah, they not devoid of the notion of implying it was, but Jake is also in this group, but it doesn't appear like he's actually participating in it. Like, it's more so that he just popped in, like, hey, Lexi, like, I'm sorry to bother you, but I'm here just to kind of visit. So that's when we learn, okay, Jake is going to stay with Lexi over the holidays. He gets permission from Jake's mom. Lexi's mom totally agrees. It's all good. It's all good. And then Devin magically appears. And so both are staying with Lexi's family. And Lexi's mom is like streaming this and is like, oh my god, like, why'd you spring out, you know, this other, oh, your other friend, like, I have 100,000 people watching. So that was kind of humorous because she's still in the to win it with the public opinion and just look professional, look good. So that is Lexi's mom. But we have our trio together for the holidays. Now, when we also see Lexi's young sister with one of those dolls still. My goodness, my cow's meowed. It freaked me out. It's like one of those meow, meow kind of noises. Jesus. Anyways, so we see one of her dolls still, the one that the therapist, Dr. Mixter, gave her. And it's great foreshadowing for what Tiffany is getting after. I digress, though. We still see some relationship trouble between Devin and Jake because Jake just ups and leaves. We also learn on the background TV station that Dr. Mixter has passed. And notably because Chucky bumped his soul back into the doll, so there is that. And now here we are at the hospital. Glenda has brought flowers for Glenn, whom appears to be unconscious. Glenda then calls Tiffany, who is still in hiding because everyone wants to, police want to bring her in for questioning. She's a murderer, all that jazz. And they discuss how Glenn had a matter of days left to live. And well, we mentioned this before as well. The goal implied is to swap Glenn's soul back into the doll. However, this requires Tiffany to portray Jennifer one last time, like just act it out to sneak in. Before I continue on, I'm going to jump to a quick ad break and we will be right back. And we're back. So the scene transitions here. Now we get Chucky browsing a catalog and he's got some like Christmas music going on. He's humming away and he finds himself a chainsaw, notably labeled as being very quiet. Also worth noting, Chucky has his own credit card for online shopping. It literally says Chucky on the card, which is very humorous. But he makes a joke. Oh, yeah. I've been super naughty, so I deserve this. And then we get our second scene episode of the episode where Lexi's mom is putting on a show for her followers yet again with the Christmas nativity scene, acting as a reminder that they have the doll Tiffany requires, and she's put it out into the open world now. So okay, foreshadowing again, this is going to have some kind of an effect later. And then at this point in time, we started a few days before Christmas, but the days are just like jumping one day at a time. It's still pretty fast paced, but it's slow enough that it's not hugely problematic at this point. So when we get back to the hospital, Glenda sneaks into Glenn's room with the doll and with a quick move manages to dispatch the guard, not like kill, but send him off away. This immediately allows Tiffany to sneak into the room as well, dressed as a nurse. And when the guard returns and enters the room, immediately deduces that, oh my gosh, it's the wanted Jennifer, but he is down by her quick act because she just smashes a vase on his head. And then Glenda proceeds to the defibrillator, the living shit out of him because he's wet from the vase. So he roasts like a chicken. Oddly enough, no fire deterrents or sprinklers activate, which is very peculiar in a hospital. But I digress. Tiffany sees the doll from Lexi's mom that's been posted on social media, and then okay, here we have the boom here. That's like, oh my gosh, I need to get to this doll. I need to have it so I can transfer my soul into it. Now, we see the doll is back. This is Chucky's and Tiffany's doll child, and I can't even remember if they got the same actor to voice the doll, but yeah, just the voice sounded like spot on, like the other ones, the other films. But yeah, this time they've decided to call themselves Gigi and confesses they want to travel. I believe they said in Europe, England, I believe, was where they wanted to go. So Jenna or Tiffany wanted to not let them go, but such is the case. So Tiffany then, she knows her next objective is to get this doll. And so now we skip ahead and we're one day away from Christmas. And finally, we see Jake return with a big gift for Devin. So, at the beginning of this episode, Jake left to go get a gift. And now he's just come back and it's been multiple days. So, I'm hopefully hoping that he wasn't at the mall for at least like 3 days trying to find this gift. But Jake gets a kick-ass gift of podcasting gear for Devin. But Devin shits all over that. Now, I'm wondering where Jake got the cash for it, first of all. But at the Lexi house, maybe he borrowed the money from Alexi House. I don't know. But at this point in time, after Jake, felt really like shit because Devin crapped all over the gift, we're going to dinner time, an absolute feast. And of course, before anyone can eat, Lexi's mom has to capture the moment on social media. That's so typical of her. Jake and Devin get into a dispute regarding the podcast gift at the dinner table, and Devin has the audacity, pun very much intended, to say podcasting is shit. Podcasting shit is so last year, and I just have to say, like, hell no, podcast is so today. It's not so last year. What are you talking about, Devin? That is bullshit, and you know it. And now we see Lexi here start to dish it out with her mom, but much more sincere than Devin and Jake's argument. Jake steps in even to defend Lexi as she tries to apologize to her mom, and it started rough, but it had a relatively good conclusion. Then we see things proceed and feel pretty good with everyone, even a little bit so with Jake and Devin. But that is starting to change because we see little good guy doll footsteps in the snow outside. And our main crew, they're all getting tucked into bed, and Lexi's in a big bed, and Jake and Devin are sleeping in matching pajamas, sleeping in sleeping bags on the floor. It's very cute. And this part I like a lot, because the group is all in Lexi's room talking about how, yes, Chucky is dead, but also how will they move on, like, not to be like Andy or Kyle, where you've always succumbed to the obsession and paranoia of Chucky being around the corner, wondering if another accident is really an accident, or is Chucky coming back? And I love how Jake reassures the group that Chucky is dead. To me, it makes this comeback feel so much more hyped than anticipated. Now we get to Jake and Devin finally. They have a super passionate kiss on the mistletoe, and they just kind of come to terms finally and make up for all the craziness that was in their relationship. They really overcame some obstacles here in this moment, which is great, just to kind of talk it out, because they weren't properly communicating in the earlier episodes. So now, after all the tribulations, they finally have done it and have come to terms here. So it was great. And then it happens. Down the chimney came the chainsaw Chucky with a Santa hat. And oh man, this is what I've been waiting for, the Christmas Chucky. So we get some holiday jingles with Chucky reciting them in this next scene here, which is, it was just fantastic. And now Tiffany shows up. So we know, obviously, Tiffany is hunting for the doll to swap souls with. So now both Chucky and Tiffany are creeping in around the house. And I first thought this was Lexi that caught her, but it was Lexi's mom that caught Tiffany. She is so bloody gullible. Jesus. And weirdly enough, very catering to Tiffany, who's just caught as a stranger in her home. She assumes it was Jennifer and totally disregards the fact that, oh, you want for murder charges? Oh, no, that's fine. You know, it doesn't matter. So Tiffany's just rolling with it, like, oh, you know, can I, there's a doll, I need to see the doll, because all the other ones got destroyed, I need it for my public image, help my court case, all that jazz. Chucky quietly appears behind Lexi's mom. Lexi's mom is busy trying to get the phone out and record Jennifer, and she's super giddy in doing so. So when Chucky appears, he's standing on the staircase railing, and he's got his really fucking insanely quiet chainsaw he turns on. That thing was fucking quiet. He made sure to wear protective eyewear as well. And this is the end for Lexi's mom. He jumps up off the staircase in the ultimate slow-mo scene of the century and just plants the chainsaw right into center on her head and just, like, saws down and literally cuts her right in half. I've only seen a brutal scene like this once before in Wrong Turn 2. And that was with an axe. And this was a chainsaw. It was brutal. Bloody red chainsaw Chucky with a Santa hat. I will say he looks badass as far as, like, killer looks go. He's definitely, like, one of his top 10 appearances of all the looks that he has donned so far. But Chucky then confronts Tiffany about where Glenn and Glenda are. Tiffany makes a stance that she won't let Chucky hurt them or the trio upstairs. How dare you kill a mom on Christmas Eve? It's just horrible. And that Glenn and Glenda are dead. Chucky doesn't buy that, though. Chucky insists, okay, they gotta be punished for not listening to me and all that jazz. So he then moves on to the notion, okay, and the kids upstairs, like, they're gonna get what's coming to them. I'm gonna go cut them up to pieces. And now this is when, however, Lexi all of a sudden jumps up the stairs and pins Chucky. Then proceeds to chainsaw the shit out of him, literally cutting up his face into multiple sections, carving him up like a turkey. Tiffany took this chance, however, to sneak upstairs and snag the doll she needs, but is caught by surprise when Jake pops out from under the sheets and stabs Tiffany. Tiffany manages to wander out into the hall, but before Devin calls the police, Lexi's sister, little sister Caroline, walks out to give Tiffany a knife. I'm thinking, what the heck? And claims she was adopted by Lexi and Lexi's mom, that Tiffany is her real mother. And so they just end up leaving together. It's super, super peculiar. Like, what prompted this? Well, the trio called the cops afterwards, and we get a full team of peeps taking evidence, working at the scene, and they confirm with the detective that, okay, it was Jennifer Tilly. Here's a photo. And out of the blue, we get the long-lost teacher from season 1 coming to assist the trio. So it's very cool to have her back as a recurring character. They confide in the teacher about Chucky, and she kind of exclaims, like, okay, yeah. Like, she's definitely aware of some bullshit going on here. Not with the kids, but with Chucky. And now we jump ahead by 3 weeks. We have, at this point, confirmed that the Chucky doll was killed. That was the last one, and that is that. But at this point, 3 weeks later, which again, this is an extensive time jump, Tiffany is still with Caroline. They are in some fancy city suite, apartment suite, who knows? And Caroline is reading a voodoo book for dummies, and Tiffany receives a call from Nika, who reveals that Gigi calls her once a week to catch up, see how she's doing, and it doesn't seem like Gigi is keeping in touch with Tiffany. But Nika also announces how she's going to still torture and kill Tiffany, literally traumatizing Tiffany, because she isn't far away. She's actually looking at Tiffany through a window with binoculars from another suite nearby. And so this pushes Tiffany over the edge. She can't do it anymore. So she sets up the seance and she's like, okay, I'm going to begin to swap my soul over into the body of this doll. But for some reason, Caroline is smiling at this point, and we learn that the soul transfer isn't working. But oh wait, eventually, after she does the recount, the doll leans up and holy shit, starts removing the eye contacts, starts wiping off the makeup. It's a Chucky doll. Oh my god, you can't take a good guy doll down, that's for fucking sure. So now they imply that Chucky slashed and killed Tiffany here. But if you have an off-screen death, then it's not really a real death, if you ask me. Now we get a break in the fourth wall, 22 days of Christmas songs sung by Chucky, just kind of recounting all the kills he had in this season, and that's it. It's concluded. Now, to reiterate how I kind of said this in the non-spoilers portion, overall, this episode was full of fun. It was definitely rushed, and we probably covered at least 4 weeks of time in this, not including the time jump between last week's episode and this one in the timeline. Well, I appreciate and love the Chucky Christmas theme I thought we'd never get. I wish this was spread out over two episodes because they could have covered a lot more ground that way, or use this as the starting point for season three and release season three in November next year or something like that. I feel like last week's episode 7 was the perfect way to cap it off with a little bit of mystery, and this one just leaves so much more to just wonder in terms of questions and all that jazz. Well, there's more to Caroline and Chucky's story here, like how long was Chucky in hiding? When did this Chucky become Prime Chucky? Or is this not Prime Chucky? Is Prime Chucky actually dead? And this is another one. What about the other Tiffany doll that was in the beginning scene with the truck of Chucky dolls? Like what was the story with that one? Like there's so much to go on here that we don't know about. What happened to Andy and Kyle? What's going on with Gigi and Nika? All these things, which we certainly have an opening for season three, which excites me with all this content, but yeah, episode 7 was much more a proper season closer, and this being the episode of the starter, but I reckon with Christmas they wanted to capitalize on it, which is fine. You can't dismiss the rust notion this episode had. I would give the whole season an 8.5 out of 10, I'd say. I couldn't believe most of what I got to see, and this was just definitely an up the ante from season 1. It felt a little bit more grander, and they really did a good job of working within the set pieces. You know, when you don't have the budget to really go all out on a set pieces, you work with a great storyline within the confines of that set and deliver us a good narrative and intriguing story and use that saved budget on other very crazy scenes like imploding, holy imploding Father Bryce and Buff Chucky and all these other crazy things. It just absolutely threw the roof. So yeah, 8.5 is definitely where it sits with me. I have to sit on and think, like, would I like the first season more than this one? But I need to kind of sit on it and see. And maybe when season three comes out, I'll have my thoughts gathered on that. But until then, that is it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the entire, if you've been on this journey with me, season two spoilers review adventure of Chucky. I am your host, Taylor. And remember, you can find all the links down below of where to find us and other content. So until next time, thank you again. And we'll see you in the search bar. Have a good one.